You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm Joe Santagato. And today we have two special guests, one being Tim. Our returning guest,
Tim Rothschild.
Thanks, guys.
And then a new guest is my friend Dylan. Dylan Alibrandi is here.
Hi, everybody.
Woo! And today,
thanks for joining us, Dylan.
Yes,
you're welcome.
We're all eating cookies right now because
except me,
Tim had.
I already ate mine.
Tim had a big ass cookie, so if you hear chewing, that's why we're all eating a cookie. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, well, first of all, before we get into the topic today, which is going to be shrooms, I wanted to talk about the movie The Interview that just got pulled.
No, you were just talking about that on the way over.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? So there are a couple things I want to say. What do you think about it? Do you think that it should have been pulled? How do you feel?
I think if I was Seth Rogen and James Franco, I'd feel kind of like cool.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of insane that they made a movie and North Korea was like, what the this is fucking, fuck you guys. And they just pulled it out of the theaters. It's kind of wild.
They think North Korea did it.
No, I'm sure they did. No, there was like terrorists.
You think North Korea is the one are the ones that hacked
yep.
into it?
Do we not know? I thought that was like, we knew that.
I thought people were still guessing who it was, but I don't know. I feel like maybe part of them is like, whoa, we're a big deal to make that happen. But another part must be disappointed to not get all that time and effort they put into the movie. It's not getting put out anymore. That sucks.
Yeah, that does suck. But they're rich. They'll get over it, I guess.
that movie would have made a lot of money if it came out, though.
I don't think it would. I don't think it's like people. That movie didn't look like insanely good to me. Like I wouldn't have gone to see that in theaters. Like I wouldn't have. Like it just didn't look
that
great.
If it got released now people would see it.
Oh, exactly. Absolutely, they go see it now.
Everybody would.
Like if it goes out to DVD, still people will now.
Right. North Korea should have just let it come out because people, like not a lot of people would have saw it. Now they started talking about it. Now everyone wants to fucking see it.
North Korea.
They tell someone they can't do something. Now they want to do it.
North Korea is just you know, they fucked up on that one.
North Korea said they didn't do it, but they like that it's happening. They think it's like good for them.
I'm not even sure if North Korea has electricity right now. Have you seen the Vice, the documentary on them?
North Korea has like the technology that we had in like World War II.
Yeah.
They march, I did not know that.
They have these parades where they march down like tanks and they basically just have all of like the old leftover equipment from like the past like five decades and they just march it down and like the entire nation is just crying hysterically for their, you know, God at the helm. I mean, is no one here calling conspiracy on this, the timing of it? You guys know what's going on with Cuba at the same time?
Yeah, I heard that today that we are friends with them.
Yeah. It's just interesting. You know, I look at these things from the conspiratorial mindset because I have to be prepared for my assault from my co-host, David Weiss. you know, it's interesting timing. You know, they always seem to have something going on that says, hey, look over there while we do something
well,
over
yeah,
here.
This is what we were talking about before in the green room because I was like, how did they not, before they put all the production money and all the costs and all that stuff into it, they knew it was going to piss off North Korea. So
I know,
why but, now would they pull it? Like, you either have to go hard, like, okay, we're going to make a movie that's going to piss them off. Let's just do it. You don't back out the last minute. Or you just don't do it.
I don't think they backed out. I think they were kind of on board with, like, who cares if
it's
you
the
know?
Theaters that.
But I think North Korea was so pissed that they were like, we're going to fucking bomb you
that's
and
why.
Everyone. And then the theaters were like, well, we're not going to have this.
Do they even have a bomb? Like, that's where
what I'm saying. They don't have missiles that could reach us. Like, yeah. I don't know. Like,
they came out with a statement, whoever these hackers are.
Yeah.
And they said, stay away from the theaters. So I guess it would be a terrorist kind of thing.
I'm camping out in theaters.
Blowing yourself up.
The other thing I wanted to say, you know, we're
War
all like,
paint.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Feathers.
It's just a movie. First of all, it's illegal to joke about killing our president, okay? Second of all, if another country made a movie about our president getting assassinated, there's no way we would take that lying down.
I don't think he gets assassinated in the movie.
Yes, he does.
No.
Does he?
I don't believe
no,
he.
No,
I don't know.
I saw the trailer for the movie, right? I saw the trailer for the movie, and what happens is they're sent to North Korea to assassinate the, you know, King
There's
Jong-un.
A scene that I just saw from the movie where his face gets blown apart. His whole body's blown apart.
I don't know. But look, this is what I saw in the trailer. They go there with the intent to assassinate the guy. But James Franco is like, you know, he's actually a pretty cool guy. And they just start hanging out and doing all this like funny shit. And it's like a funny movie because like now he's like, I don't want to kill him because he's like a cool guy. You know what I mean? And I don't really know how hilarious. It ends because I'm doubting they wouldn't tell us how the fucking movie ended. They wouldn't say like, oh, he's dead. Like they wouldn't give that away. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Did they get pissed off at a Team America World Police? You guys remember that movie?
Yeah,
you
know, Durga Durga.
They had him like, you know, he was a fucking kid. Literally, he was a character of himself. You know, like they made him look like a total dumbass.
Yeah. Yeah,
were they pissed then? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Okay. There you have it, guys. You heard it here.
Conspiracy, Illuminati, bunch of other things, 9/11. How you doing?
Let's move on to our topic. Today we're talking about shrooms, and Tim was saying that it's actually 'tis the season for psychedelics.
'Tis. It's the most psychedelic time of year.
Why? Explain.
This time of year, I usually go out in a circuit and I tell as many people as I can the true origins of Christmas. Which I'm sure you guys are not aware of. Are you? Has anyone heard the psychedelic connection to Santa Claus? Oh, this is awesome. All right, this is great. Usually at least one person has. Okay, so.
Oh, fuck.
All right, so just you know, hear me out, open mind. Even though you probably don't need too much of an open mind. But the origin of Santa Claus actually comes from the sacred mushroom. Yeah, it's a fact as much as, you know, when you do the research, you're like, I can't deny this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's this mushroom called the Amanita muscaria mushroom. It's a magic mushroom, and it grows. Normally mushroom grows on shit, you know? This one just grows right out of the ground underneath conifer trees, you know, pine trees, same shit that we have as our Christmas tree, because it has a symbiotic relationship with the tree itself underground. So that's like somewhat of like a virgin birth. People were like, what is this? You know, how is this mushroom growing the way it is? And it's a red and white mushroom. And what the shamans would do is they would pick the mushrooms around this time of year for the winter solstice and dry them out either by hanging them on the tree themselves or hanging it on over the fireplace, right? So, you know, think of the stockings, the ornaments, and the presents underneath the tree. Wow. And so now at the same time, shamans often work with spirit animals, right? And so the reindeer is said to be one of the spirit animals that they work with as they're tripping and communicating with the spirit world. And the shamans used to throw on red and white gear so it looked like the mushroom itself. And as a gift, they go from house to house. It started in Siberia. They go house to house. And because it would become extremely snowy and some of the doors would be blocked by these snow drifts, they would drop them down through the chimney.
It's fucking absurd.
It's a fucking no-brainer.
That's a layup, honestly.
Wow. Yeah, man. It's like, and what's so funny is this time last year, I was full blown, you know, experimenting with them. And I think that's why Kate invited me on today to, I guess, tell that story.
No, it
too.
Was actually a coincidence. And then I realized after that it's funny timing. I think you realized it too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, because Kate asked me to come on and I went, you realize what I was doing literally this time last year? I was renting out hotel rooms to just trip balls for like a week. It's fucking wild.
Because I've been wanting Tim to come on to talk about his shrooms experience because they're pretty out there and crazy. And I've done shrooms once. It was, I guess, like 4 or 5 years ago. It was crazy. You know, I faced a lot of my own demons, and I think it helped me a lot. But I definitely didn't get to see any of the cool colors
stuff.
Or fractals. Yeah, I didn't have any fun.
Like a pink elephant fucking a seagull or something.
Yeah, none of that. I wish. But Tim has taken such heroic doses of it.
Yes, sir.
He's called heroic
doses.
That's what he called. And like he rented. Didn't you like rent a hotel room and get a blindfold? Like he went in.
Yeah.
So his experiences are like a whole other level. And I would like to say, if anyone's thinking about doing shrooms, I wouldn't your first time do it the way Tim did it.
Don't be a hero.
Yeah, I mean, I got into it because I was reading plant shamanism books. You know, I was trying to understand, you know, kind of how that world worked. You know, I was trying to figure out alternative medicines and stuff. And I just started I started having dreams about magic mushrooms. That's how badly I wanted to do it. And, you know, I did a ton of research as to how to do it safely. And I realized, I came to the conclusion that there's, you know, taking a little bit is not going to help anybody. You know, I called it playing psychedelic detective. You're supposed to take a heroic dose, which was anywhere from like 5 to 10 grams. Let's say in about 10 days, I ate 3 ounces, right? And I would just, I'd go in different environments and, you know, some of them I'd be blindfolded and meditating for like 6 hours. Other times I'd just be like writing down in my notepad. And I just figured I would just go to the other side, take down as much information as I could and bring it back and share it with everybody. You know, wow. it was some of the coolest times of my life.
Can you tell us some of the crazy cool experiences?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have that with you, the stuff or no?
I don't have the notebook with me. Uh-huh. I mean, I was chasing a bunch of, like, I'm a philosopher at heart too. So I was trying to chase, like, I was trying to understand the nature of reality. Cause when you trip out, you know how, Joe, I can see the auras and energy right. around people. The mushrooms take you there without it. You know, you don't have to do any heavy meditative or spiritual practices. You can just take a dose of it, and then that energy that you see around you is literally always there, right? It just opens you up in a different way. So I wanted to study it, and I wasn't at a point yet where I could do it without the help. So I'd take some heavy doses and report back. And I guess, you know, some of the good times I had, good times, were always, I realized that first, taking the mushrooms is a really uncomfortable process for the most part when you take as much as I do. So there's usually at least an hour where I'm like writhing in pain, right? Like I don't want anybody around. I usually take
like
all my clothes off.
Pain?
Yeah, physically, like nauseous, trying not to throw up. Like, you know, I've surrounded myself with everything that I need to be comfortable, which was like a pop-up altar, I called it, which is like all the stuff that made me feel safe if I lost my shit. A lot of pot, like a lot of like candies to suck on, and then like incense and candles and all this, like blankets, soft shit, all the shit, and all these journals, just so like at any given moment, if I needed something, I could do it because I didn't have a spotter. I highly recommend a spotter for anybody that's just starting out.
Yeah, I would like to, before we fully go into that, I just want to say, because I feel like I need to be responsible here.
Bench pressing.
A spotter.
You need a spotter.
Yeah.
You don't drop the weight on you.
When I did shrooms, although it was... I'm very thankful I did it. I think it really helped open me up to this whole spiritual stuff, which now I'm fully in. But I definitely wanted to kill myself while I was on them. And like for real, like I was like, I can't handle all this pain. I can't handle all this stuff that's making me face. I was ticking and writhing in pain, and I had to have the guy who was with me was like sitting on my back to like to literally get me to not go up to try to kill myself. So I would, if you're going to do it, definitely have someone with you. And I'm not saying at all that you should do it. You know, Tim and I talk about this stuff all the time where I'm like, I don't think people need to use substances to get to that place of, you know, seeing energies. It's still a great tool if you want it and you use it responsibly, I think. But I do not think you need it. I've only done them once. Maybe I'll do it again. I'm still undecided. But I'm still on the fence of whether or not... I definitely think shrooms are like a gift and a great tool. I just don't know how much we need them to get there. Because sometimes when you take shortcuts, I don't know if it helps or if it hurts, or maybe it just depends. So I would like to say that.
Yeah, definitely respect the power of it. You know, because... In my belief system at the moment, I think that consciousness actually creates reality, like not the other way around. So these things literally take you to a room that you've never been to before. I mean, it turns everything literally inside out, right? So if you are planning on, you know, going, if you're planning on doing anything, don't. Like literally, like that's what it's all about. Just like chill and just be in a safe environment. Do your research. Reset.me. Just go there.
Try to be in nature if you can, if it's possible.
You could do that either way. No matter what, it's going to amplify your experience like by a million times. You know,
I would think also probably doing it with someone who's done it before, because I feel like a lot of people might try it after this podcast. maybe so. You know, and I'm, once again, I'm not saying you should do them. That's totally up to you. But if you're going to, please be responsible. Because like I said, I wanted to kill myself. And it was, at the time, it was the worst experience of my life. That's what I felt at the time. I wanted it to end. And it lasts about 5 to 6 hours.
Wow.
So once you're in.
You're
locked
in.
It was a long time of me being in a lot of emotional pain. So, which still, once again.
That's so long.
It was a brutal experience, but
it's like a work day.
I came out with so much. Yeah, it's a work day.
I used to do double sessions for it. I do one in the morning and then one at night. You
Tim's
know,
a beast.
What do you see? What did you see actually? Like,
it's you know, a lot. I mean, dude, I literally met Jesus at one point. Like that's that's how deep in I was. You know, you lose a complete sense of self.
Do you realize?
Is he chill?
Yeah.
He told me that I can find the answer to literally anything I want within myself, always, forever. And I've always had it. Like, you just showed it all to me. And I was like, oh my God. You know, like this.
Which I fully believe.
Yeah, I mean, well, he showed me, you know, it's tough to get into the technical stuff because we don't have the time, but he showed me what's called the holographic nature of reality. So the science is just showing that now. I found it through mushrooms a while before that, is kind of the way I put it.
Wow.
What the fuck is it?
And Jesus told me. You know, it's just like, I'm just like, what?
What did Jesus look like?
He looked like, he came to me. What did he look like? He looked like, there's so many different images of Jesus. He didn't look like the Egyptian dark-skinned Jesus that there would be. There's an Alex Gray painting of like, he's a visionary psychedelic artist. He has a painting of Jesus. If you look up Alex Gray, G-R-E-Y, Jesus, that's pretty much the Jesus that I saw.
Okay.
But the way it happened was I rented out a hotel. I went in real deep and, this was my second session of the day. The first session I had spent journaling in a snowstorm in my car. And I was just parked in a parking lot outside the hotel. And then I stayed there for a couple hours. And then when I was able to talk again, I stumbled out of the car, got the hotel room, set up the hotel room, and then we did it again. And this time I completed, you know, what I was looking for the time before. And basically, there's this thing called the flower of life. It's a geometrical symbol that like represents like everything. And what you find is when you trip out a lot, you see these things called sacred geometry. And it's like, it teaches you about the nature of reality and why things actually go the way they are in a geometric form. So I found myself literally inside of it. Then I experienced what it was like to actually literally be a big bang, like the beginning of the universe.
How does that work?
It felt like going through hyper. It felt like I was on the USS Enterprise, right? Wow. Like boom, just like flying through it.
Did you see things?
Yeah, of course, just flying right through it. But I knew at the time,
like a Star Wars intro kind of thing.
Like just wow. Imagine all of the streams of light coming around you, like you're in a tunnel, right? Okay. But at the time, I knew that I was a big bang. Right. So yeah. I knew that I was on the verge of having a major realization. When I came through the other side, there was Jesus. And Jesus let me know that I had every answer ever. And he taught me about the holographic nature of reality. And then I went back and I did my research and I found it. And I was like, holy fuck.
Were you bugging out? Like when you're talking to Jesus,
did you
tell
yourself like, holy shit, this I'm tripping?
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. I mean, because anybody listening, understand this is a medicine. I was doing this as a science experiment, but this is literally a medicine. You should do it, and if you're going to do it, and then let the information integrate for like a really long time, because like we can get into the science of why it's a medicine later on, but there's a long integrative period that you should be taking. You know, you don't want to keep doing it.
And just like another psychedelic is ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. And what I like about ayahuasca is that you're forced to take it seriously because there's normally a shaman there, and they have like this special, I think they drum it. There's like a special song to help, like they take it seriously. And there are people there to help you through it. Whereas like, I would hope that you would treat shrooms the same way as, a medicine, a sacred medicine.
It's a ceremony, it's a celebration ceremony, and it's not easy. People that are looking to just take it and run around, that's cool, take a little bit and experience some magic, makes everything a little bit more vibrant. But what I was doing was literally trying to talk to like God. I was just going in as far as I could and see what happened. It appears as such. I don't know. I mean, I've got plenty of trips I could talk about, but
Tell
you guys want to get involved. Joe's just leaning back, settling in. I want to make sure you guys are interested, involved.
Word, this whole podcast, I would not give a
that
shit.
That sheds a whole new light onto doing shrooms. I just thought you did it to trip.
I remember I left. I've done a bunch of ayahuasca ceremonies too. And when I connected with the shaman, it's so illegal in the United States. Anything that you're allowed to explore consciousness with is a threat to the system.
Yeah, cigarettes. You want to kill yourself and get tar up in your lungs. Totally cool. Oh, you want to expand your consciousness? Illegal.
We're going to have FBI knocking on the door.
Dude, they're already on the way.
Yeah.
Doesn't even leave it on this back fucking door.
Go.
So, like,
tell us, didn't you one time see, like, I might be mixing up some of your stories, but sure. I know one time you saw, like, a blue being, or is that a different story?
No, that was meditating. That was at the school. That was just straight up going there with the spiritual practice. You know? But no, I mean, I had some experiences where I'll ask questions, right? Like I'll meditate before it and I'll really set my intent to ask a specific question to see if I can get an answer back. A lot of people would say, that's communicating with your higher self, but instead I'd communicate with like the plant spirits, So I'd ask the plant spirit, and again, that looks like me just sitting around just like this and saying, okay, let's see what happens. Plant spirit, show me what you got. Take the most ridiculous dose of mushrooms ever and then, prepare for the ride. And one time I literally became a tree. And I talked about this last year, where it took about an hour for me to get through it because I was like convulsing on the ground, soaked in sweat, just writhing in pain. And I was like, thank God nobody's around to see this because it's fucking embarrassing. You know what I mean? You've got your leg thrown up behind your head and it's just like, you don't look human. You don't look okay, but you are okay. You know, it's just, you know, you're just not who you were before. And I remember when I got through the tough stuff, I had literally become a tree. I knew what it was exactly to feel like to be a tree. I felt the energy system flowing through my body as if I was a tree. I put my hands up to like take to allow like the light into my hands. And I'm a Reiki healer too, so I started to realize that that's kind of how the energy system of the body works. And I started realizing that our fingers are like the leaves of a tree. And then, you know, so then all immediately I was told, you know, this is how palmistry works, you know, because literally like the there are parts of your hand, like people that know how to read your hand. The way you live your life is etched in your body itself, in your biological system. And these sacred medicines know that. And that's why they're so important, because they help you get out of the ruts that you've created. So if you've been abused or if you have a tough life for a really long time, you know, like there's a lot of emotional pain there that creates these passageways in your brain and other areas in your body. And can be really, really hard to get yourself out of that. You know, like you just have these tendencies to flip out or react in anger or just get sad and depressed and aloof and avoid people. You know, what mushrooms can, and this is why it's being so well used for you know, post-traumatic stress for people coming back from wars and stuff and addictions, is because it literally in one session, you know, you can potentially flick an addiction off you like a buck, you know, something that you've been fighting for 20 years, because biologically it literally reprograms your brain. I mean, this is proven in science now, but last year, and I say it on my podcast, I used to tell everyone, I said, hey, when I put a blindfold on myself, I was watching my brain rewire itself. And then a year later, science comes out and they go, hey, this is what mushrooms actually do. It's rewiring your brain. And I was like, I know, I've been fucking tripping balls all the time, rewiring my brain, you know?
But you know what, like right now I'm going through a lot of personal work. I started my spiritual school that Tim's also in. He's the one that got me into it. And I can feel without shrooms, I can feel myself rewiring, and it's still really fucking painful. You know what I mean? So you can still rewire your brain.
How does that feel?
I can, how would I describe
it? Hands over her.
Yeah, it's like, it feels like literally, I'm picturing like these glowy little like passageways. It feels like, because it almost hurts, and it feels like, not like a headache, but it feels like congestion, like it's trying to like regrow in different ways or something.
When you do this, I think of like electric wiring, like a red wire,
so much like that. Because I'll come out of, they give us, that's, we meet four times a year, and it's very much like a psychedelic trip, because they're rewiring you.
They know how to work with your energies, the tree of life. So they are messing with they're doing it.
Yeah. And so just like, it's like a psychedelic trip. So they give you 3 months before the next class, and they'll say things like, you know, watch your feet on the way out. Or I'll take a lunch in the middle of class, and you know, I'll be in like a 7-Eleven grabbing a drink, and the guy would be like, you know, like wah 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 wah, and I'll just hand him like $20 and be like, just give me the right change. I don't know what's going on, you know, and he'll just hand it back to me like, you okay? I'm like, fine, I think, you know. Then I go back to class. That's very much how it feels like. It feels like you're a robot and you're being rewired, you know. And then when you come out the other side, you just see things more clearly, or you're not dealing with whatever stress you had before, you know. Like for instance, like I get stressed out about a job, like, you know, I need some money or something, you know, after the session, I may not have money in my pocket, but there's no more pressure, so it leaves room for me to actually explore, to actually get a solution. It's not frozen in place anymore.
Has there ever been a session that you had where you came out and it was more difficult, or you saw things more clouded than they were originally?
The difficulties would only come from, disappointment. Kate and I talk about it all the time. Disappointment from, like, you know, an unfulfilled attachment to a specific desire. You know what I mean? So, like, a major realization about myself. Like, holy shit, I'm the biggest asshole on the planet. You know? So that'll get you confused, you know? And then if you keep doing psychedelics without letting that change like integrate through your system, then you start getting yourself into some trouble, you know. Mm-hmm.
Like some of the realizations I'm having, not from shrooms but from the school, is like a lot of the ways that I try to control environments, you know, because we try to, you know, have control as a way to not feel disappointed, or because we're scared to just surrender to life or the universe, even though we are the universe.
Get it.
So like I'll just notice, I'm starting to notice those things, and it's it's good that I'm noticing them, but it also causes a lot of pain because you're like, man, I'm noticing these things. I'm aware of these things now, but I can't just shed them super quickly because they've been ingrained in me, these behaviors. So it can be painful coming out of something like that, having that awareness, but knowing that you're not exactly, quote unquote, fixed overnight. It still takes time to, yeah, restructure your brain, recircuit it.
Yeah.
So.
Joe, you got any questions? You're quiet.
I'm fucking just trying to take this all in.
Yeah, yeah.
Joe, would you ever do shrooms?
Hey,
probably not, because I don't know if I could deal with that.
You seem like a pretty chill dude. Like, I don't feel like...
Yeah,
I don't feel like you've got a lot of major problems that you're dealing with.
No.
Kate and I over here, we can barely get out of bed.
Yeah, I feel like you would just be actually seeing the pretty stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he'd be seeing the elephants. And,
yeah. You'd be like, nothing happened.
Yeah. Like, these just taste gross. I don't know why you're making a big deal about it. No, but I don't think... Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what to fucking say about it. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of shit like that kind of like scares me. Like, you're like, oh yeah, I took this heroic dose, as you like to put it. And you're saying like you're convulsing and you're fucking, you know, whatever. It just kind of seems fucking crazy to me. Not crazy, but like crazy, like holy shit.
No, Tim showed me these YouTube videos of people trying Sylvia.
Salvia.
Oh,
Salvia.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. They trip.
That. It's only, oh what, like God. 3 minutes long?
It's just
short.
It's a fucking punch to your consciousness. It literally just makes you black out for like a short amount of time, and then you come back. It's the most uncomfortable, ridiculous experience.
And it's legal.
Have you tried it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did.
Yeah, of course I tried it.
I was in a garage in San Francisco, and I remember like I came out of it like, I am never doing that again. You know, like a friend of mine did it. They just started crying. They were just so upset. Right, Mike?
What did you feel like in 3 minutes?
What's that?
What happened?
I remember losing complete touch with everything that I am or what's going, like it was a what the fuck is going on moment. I don't have control of anything. And I remember just slowly sitting down and just trying not talking myself through not panicking while I figured out what was happening.
You
know?
Guys need to YouTube.
And it was only like 8 seconds, but it felt like a lifetime.
How long did it feel? I was just going to ask that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I say it was like a lifetime to exaggerate, but like, I would say don't do it and don't find out. It doesn't even matter. There's
not
no reason to do
so
this drug.
No,
yeah, with shrooms, it might be uncomfortable, but you get a lot out of it.
Yeah, there's a lot that
Salvia,
you
just stay away
yeah,
from it.
Yeah, shrooms, do an eighth is a regular dose. You know, you'll get a little nauseous, you know, watch your diet, you know. You know, I was doing a lot more than that because I just, that's the way I am. I'm an asshole.
I would love to know how much you did.
I did 3 ounces in 10 days was the most I did. And that was like... That's a lot.
That's considered a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That's like, you know, because I took after
in food terms, how much pizza would that be in 3 days? Is that, help me understand that more.
Okay, so
is that like three so pies? What is that?
No, it's eight pizza pies. They call it 4 pizza pies per ounce. So it's like 12 pies in 10 days. Maybe no, it's probably more than that.
That's
I don't
great.
Know.
12
wow.
pies in 10 days.
Yeah, if we're gonna just do pizza yeah, to see, pizza to shoot some magic mushrooms.
You gotta speak his language, man.
You throw some mushrooms on that pizza.
So can you tell us more of the things that you experienced, some of the crazier things while on shrooms?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen angels come out of my closet. You know, armored angels, you know, just walking in and out of my closet. Yeah, just full gladiator
sword?
Gear. You know, like how you see Saint Michael, you know, with like the flaming sword and the shit. Yeah, he was just hanging with me in my room.
I thought those people just hold staffs and wear robes and just like everything's lights and they like
angels are
always
violent,
have
bro.
Like a lamb running around. Like I didn't know they had swords and shit.
There's always a lamb
running around.
Yeah. Like birds just flying. Like I don't know. I thought it was like nice shit.
Here's the thing though, Tim's told me this story. I think it's the one where they keep coming in and out of your closet, right? So they were angels, but he wasn't having a fun time with them.
No.
You were like terrified. Yeah,
this is probably this was actually
get back in there.
It was a funny because it was the second time I ever did shrooms and I did way too much. And this was like a while ago, but it was still a very vivid moment. I still think about it like all the time because there's no other experience that I've ever had that literally, you know, just like you know, Joe and everybody around me right now, is this real? Like, you know, imagine there was just angels sitting with us as well. You know, just yeah. just as real.
It's the craziest
shit, you know? I mean, you know.
So they're not like transparent or anything. They're like.
They're just as real.
That's crazy.
That's wow. So, okay.
You can't imagine like a dude in like armor just sitting. I'm like,
just to take it one step further, though.
Can you talk?
It's my suspicion that that's actually what's going on.
What?
That those angels are actually there.
And you just can't see them?
We just can't see them, yeah. Because you know, if you talk to a mystic or a spiritual person, they say that it takes you to the room with Christ, but it doesn't let you go there. Or like Ram Dass, one of my spiritual teachers, he says, it'll take you to the top of the mountain, show you what's possible if you hit the spiritual path hard, but you always have to come down, right? So it becomes a crutch if that's all you're using. But it shows you what reality could be like. And that is, to me, was what was so fascinating. You know, I was like, really? These things are really right here?
So basically, there's probably angels around us right now,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Laughing at us.
Yeah.
With armor.
They're like, this kid with his fucking pizza line.
Laughing at us and loving us.
Yeah, they're like, pizza's so the shrooms,
just,
ridiculous.
I'm just slapping old women in the face right now. just moving my hand, slapping people in the face.
Well, okay, let me ask you. You clearly know that
Wait, hold on. Can you speak when you're like tripping and
do you
shit
talk
like
to them?
Yeah, like can you?
I mean,
yeah.
You spoke to Jesus, so.
Yeah, it's more telepathic though at that point.
I was going to ask if it was like telepathic or is it like you're actually hearing yourself talk to this person?
You can do both. You know, it depends. You know, some of it goes on in your head. Some of it goes on externally to yourself. Some of it you just know. You right. know, like I used to hear, I used to listen to, I used to be in like a really quiet area, and when I really silenced myself and I got through the tough stuff, I used to hear what I called the plant song. And it was always just a part of the process where the plant song would come, and it would just be like this sound not coming from outside. It came from inside of me. It sounded like bong, 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 bong. And it was like the most beautiful natural music. And I just called it the plant song. And then just last week, I want to talk about this on Rabbit Hole. Just last week, these people were able to take a galvanic skin response, which is what they use for lie detector tests, attach it to plants, and then translate that into music, and they realized that plants, along with probably everything else, communicates through music.
Wow.
And they played they played the song on this radio show called Coast to Coast AM, and it was literally the song I heard.
That's what that guy.
And I was like, Kate, I called Kate. I was like, Kate, they're fucking playing the plant song right now. You know, I was like, I've heard this like several times.
You should have like fucking made the song and then just like. Spit a hot 16 over it. Yeah, crazy. You'd be rich. Like people would have just like connected with it because like that's just how we're supposed to like connect with plants and shit. They wouldn't even know why they liked it.
That's so
like
true.
Those shitty rappers that put out songs and like we love the song but we hate it at the same time. That's probably like you know some
plant
energy
music.
Shit. Yeah, it's plant music. Fucking plugged in that shit to a goddamn daffodil and that's what we got.
Now I want to ask you a question. Okay, so Tim, before I got spiritual, when I heard like people doing shrooms, I thought they were just hallucinating, and I thought that meant like something was going off in their brain and they were seeing things that weren't actually there. So how do you know that those angels are actually there and it's not your brain making something up?
It's a great question because you know like you know it's kind of retarded to just have faith, you know, that's how you end up in the cult kind of thing,
right?
And that's why what I use, like I try to find, you know, a bunch of different information that kind of meets at the same point. But the best way I can explain it is, you know, there's a map that has been given to us by people who have done this before. And, you know, if someone hands me the map, which they have, they say, you know, check it out. I go to point A. If what they say is going to happen at point A happens, my faith in them grows, my faith in the map grows, you know? So that's why I wanted to check this shit out. Cause I am on the spiritual path. Cause I heard that, you know, spiritual heroics, you know, out of body experiences and being like living like a mushroom trip that was very attractive to me. So I wanted to see, you know, why I was doing all that hard work, basically. I wanted to get, you know, check out.
Yeah. For me, there are too many synchronicities at this point for me to not believe and have faith in this stuff. But I just wanted to say that question for people who might be like, oh, well, how do you know it's not just
you know,
your brain hallucinating?
I used to like hover around this stuff, you know, reading books about it and just studying the science behind it because I was so skeptical for years. And I realized that I would never get to a point where I actually had faith in it if I didn't try it out myself. You know, so I joined the school, I tripped my face off. And now I'm here to report that it's all real.
Well, I mean, I think the fact that you heard on your own a plant song and then
there's a lot of recorded it
without being on shrooms, and it was the same thing. It's something.
The plant song, the rewriting of the brain, you know, the tree thing, all these things. Like I've looked up later on. You know, I didn't go in there knowing that this was going to happen. You know, it taught me, and then you know, you read the plant shamanism books, and that's what they say. They say the plant spirits told them because they were doing the same shit.
What was that holographic shit Jesus was talking about? That was like, you kind of just mentioned it, but never really like.
It's a lot to explain. That's why I was like, I'm not going to bore everybody.
Is there like a quick summary that'll just make me go? What?
It's basically, it says that, like, you know, the reality that we're in is an illusion, and you can potentially see everything as a metaphor. So, like, you know, you guys.
So it's what you were saying before, that everything that you saw was kind of real, but this is what we see. Is that kind
of
like what you're saying?
That's part of it, but then on top of that, what you see isn't actually what it is because it's just an illusion. And there's in a hologram, basically, if you cut off a piece of it, you just hold either just a really small piece of it or the bigger piece of it, doesn't matter, it still contains a picture of the whole exact hologram that was there to begin with.
Yeah.
And there's a scientific theory right now, mystics and spiritual people, they've been saying this forever, but science is just approaching a time when they can prove that this is actually the reality that we're living in, saying that we're actually in a living hologram.
And meaning like it's a projection of us.
That, like, yeah, I mean, you can start talking in riddles, like we are the holographic projection of the universe, or we are the universe imagining itself, you know, but a lot of that stuff, it's like, wait, what, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I'm excited because science is getting there. Science is proving it, you know?
I think you guys should all check out on YouTube the double slit experiment. It's one of
sounds like a porno.
Mike makes the same jokes.
The double slit experiment.
It's one of my favorites.
Pretty sure I searched it on YouPorn before.
Yeah, I've seen that video. The double slit with the mom and the babysitter.
It's one of my favorite videos.
Yeah.
I should have thought about that name for a second longer. Immature people are not going to like this.
Yeah, maybe like double line. I don't know what they could have called it. But it's really interesting. It definitely talks about life at the quantum level. And it kind of gets into the holographic nature of everything, of the observer, because we would be the observer. And when the observer's not there, what it actually is, I'm going to start sounding really out there. So just check it out. Double slit experiment.
The idea behind it is that the observer changes the experiment. So the light, you know, when it's being recorded, acts differently than when it knows it's not being recorded. So, and people are like, well, you know, what is this? And then, you know, scientists will say that, all right, what happens on the quantum level, the same rules apply to us on this level. So that's why they're exploring it. So if that's what happens, then it's just like, how does that work here? So when I observe something, I literally change what it is. And so it's a little bit different than holographic, in that quantum theory is about information. The more you know about one thing, the less you know about its counterpart, like on the other side of the universe. Holographic is about information and then resolution of information. So if you've got a bigger piece of the whole that you're looking at, it's going to be clear, but it's still going to have the whole picture. And if you have a little piece of it, it's going to be a little bit muddied up, but it's still going to have the whole picture of it. You kind of see what I'm saying? In spiritual terms, it says, remember who you are. You are the universe. That's what they mean. So we're like this hologram, remembering that we are all of this.
I'd say a great book for everyone is Ram Dass's Be Here Now. Get that. I feel like that kind of explains it in a very poetic, out there way.
It's like I'm getting a nosebleed reading that.
No, because the reason why I recommend his book, I wish you could see it.
Yeah.
It's like he does these amazing
nosebleed. I was just rereading, just like, oh my God.
No, he first of all, when I read it, I think I read like 3 or 4 pages at a time, and they're beautiful. It's artwork, you know, with like words on it. And I feel like it's energetically placed in a certain way where I'd almost start getting a little dizzy in a good way reading it. And that's why I only did, you know, a couple pages at a time. But it's, even if you're not really understanding what it's saying, I swear to God, I feel like it's energetically getting into your consciousness. That's the feeling I got when I was reading it. So I would recommend getting it. I think it's dead on, and it's also beautiful just to even look at the illustrations.
A lot of tear-soaked pages.
So if you like pictures, go check out that book.
And if you don't like pictures, you're a sociopath. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So what else, guys?
We want to hear more of your experiences. Have you ever encountered aliens?
I'm just blown away right now.
Yeah,
because
I'm just
like,
trying to soak all this in.
Sometimes I see a really good movie, I'm like, yo, that was crazy. Like when I saw Fast Five, I was like, that movie was insane. And now this guy is fucking Jesus.
This is Fast Five times a million.
Yeah, it's like.
Here's another thing. I don't want to hog up the whole time, but you just shut me up.
No,
before
I talk. Dude, I don't even want to talk anymore.
I want to listen.
All right. So then, I mean, mushrooms is very similar in its chemical structure to ayahuasca and dimethyltryptamine. And you know, DMT is dimethyltryptamine. That's secreted from your pineal gland, that, you know, the red dot in the middle of the forehead that Indians would have, or you know, it's there because it's called your third eye, and there is a spiritual purpose to
it.
I thought
that just meant they're married.
No, it's there to give tribute to it. You know, like, you know how you guys are looking at me now and you can see pictures in your mind?
Yes.
That picture is coming from your third eye. And science suspects it's from the pineal gland. You know, everyone else would say it is, because if you look at the Pope's staff, his staff has a pine cone on it. And that pine cone symbolizes the pineal gland in the center of your forehead, in the center of your brain. And you also see in the Vatican, whatever it's called. Where does the Pope live? In the Vatican, right?
Fucking Vatican.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It's called the Court of the Pine Cone. And there's a gigantic pine cone there. No one ever asks why that's there. And it's because that's your spiritual connection, you know?
Fuck is anyone going to not ask that question?
I haven't
been there. I haven't seen a picture of it since I was like in CCD.
Google Earth it. You'll see a giant fucking pine cone there. It's
and no
bigger
one walks
than
by there like, yeah, this is a big ass fucking pine cone.
It's everywhere. You find in all ancient civilizations, all over every spiritual practice, they have pine cones because it symbolizes your third eye, which connects you to this other side. So when you do shrooms or you do ayahuasca or whatever, like squeegees, you know, the pineal gland gets it nice and clear for you so you can connect. And, you know, when I do ayahuasca, you know, I forgot where I was going with it, but, you know, ayahuasca itself is a little bit different because it's called the vine of the dead. It purges your body at the same time. So mushrooms will rewire your brain and have you look at things from a different perspective. But ayahuasca will literally, you know, launch the toxins out of your body from every orifice. It's called the Great Purge.
Can you tell us about one of your ayahuasca trips?
Yeah. You want me to tell? I mean, the death one. I briefly mentioned it.
The craziest one.
Okay, so I was getting cocky in you know, the pursuing of this work, and I had figured that I was ready to confront death. I figured life and death is just two sides of a third thing. I'm gonna figure this out. Yeah.
How do you go about confronting death?
Yeah, it's ayahuasca.
I'm gonna take so much that it's gonna kill me.
I was basically asking, you know, when you do ayahuasca, it's called Mother Ayahuasca because it's the spirit of the plant. So you're basically, again, you're communicating with a feminine energy, and that feminine energy gives you exactly what you can handle and what you're asking for, no more, no less. And so when you do it, I'd meditated the whole week and fasted and, you know, ate the right stuff and basically was asking to overcome my fear of death, you know? And so the process works is, you know, David, my co-host, and I, we drive to a place in Pennsylvania to a spiritual ceremony. You know, we meet up with a shaman and about like 15 to 20 other complete strangers. And you're just about to spend a weekend doing ayahuasca together. Ceremony starts at like 7, 8 at night. You start with an hour of meditation. And then you take turns going around in like a dark room, super quiet. You just sit by yourself. And you know you're going to be sitting there meditating and dealing with this thing for 5-6 hours, right? So you have to be mentally right for this, or you're going to lose your fucking shit, you know, because
I'd be scared of losing my fucking shit.
It's not, you know, you're literally, you're going to war, you know, some people don't go to war. Some people like Dave, you know, after this one, Dave was like, I saw light beings. He was like emotional. There's tears. You know, he's just like, this is the most beautiful experience of my life. He's like, what did you see? And I was like, the complete opposite for 4 hours. The first 4 hours were literally, everybody in the room's flesh just dropped right off their body. And this is, again, imagine just as real as we are sitting here right now. Ugh. So as I watch it, I'm like, okay, Tim, just remember that. I'm like, wait, am I Tim? Am I Tim? Am I Tim? Am I? You know, it's just like I'm going off and I'm like, no, come on back. Come on back. You are Tim. And this is just a trip. You know, like, don't be scared. So like they're the meat's falling off, these skeletons, dead bodies are, you know, ripping out of the ground. And I started to figure out where the dead bodies were going to be coming from, because there'd be like a blue light flashing in the ground, giving itself away first. So I'd be like, all right, dead bodies coming. Okay. You know, the guy to my left turned into like this. The guy to my left, I started calling a sentinel, because he literally didn't move for 4 or 5 hours, didn't even flinch this entire time. And I just thought that was just epic, because I'm usually, again, like super nauseous and trying not to puke all over myself, which is very common. People shit and puke.
Because they're purging.
They're purging. Yeah, they're getting it out. You know, they're getting all the toxins out, all the evil stuff out.
It's a room of 15 people just shitting themselves.
It's a mess.
It's stunk in there.
And you get a little baggy so that you can puke into it and then zip it up. You know, and if you lose your shit, there are spotters around. And the shaman is doing, playing the ayahuasca song. And there's an ayahuasca.
How much does it cost to do a ceremony with ayahuasca?
$180 a session, generally. You know, because they've got to take it from Peru. They take it from the Amazon rainforest. You know, they figured it out of 150,000 different plant species. They figured out that one of them neutralizes a chemical in your stomach, and the other one releases dimethyltryptamine from your pineal gland. And it just releases it somehow. I don't remember. And they took the ayahuasca plants and the roots, and they brought them to Hawaii. And they take them from Hawaii and they make it and they bring it to America. So it's a process. You know, it's like it's a big deal. And I know them personally. And again, be careful about who you use. I use shamans that come well referred. And again, back to my trip, everybody was dying. The biggest part was there was a flesh eating disease that was flying around the room. I just knew that it was flying. You know, I was watching it. It looked like a dark spirit in like a bad movie, right? So I've been watching this thing fly around. I'm like, what the fuck is this? This doesn't look good. And it lands on my right toe and starts eating my foot. And it ate my whole leg all the way up until the knee. And then it went to the other one. And so I'm sitting there like a legless, you know, gimp, fucking watching everyone dead around me, and just, you know, and then, you know, like
while Dave's having the most beautiful experience of his life,
and I'm struggling. And at one point, you know, there's an ayahuasca song that's going on the whole time in case you go too far, because they say you're going to the astral plane now. You know, you are not here. You're gone. And I started losing it. And the ayahuasca song is like a really beautiful, look it up on YouTube, really beautiful, like a whistling song and the chimes, the whole thing. So I was like, all right, find the song and come on back to my body. I'm like, the shaman's going to help me out. So I turn to look at the shaman. The shaman turns to me and he's got this giant fucking minotaur head like a bull.
Oh,
and
God.
He's got flames coming from his eyes. And he's like, raw! And I was like, okay, there's absolutely nothing helping me at this moment. And I rode it out for about 4 hours until I hit a point where I just said, enough. I fucking surrender. Mother Ayahuasca, you win. And at that exact moment, the whole room lit up. There was a dragon there. It turned into a golden deer, like this little like baby deer, just like wagging its tail looking at me. And an electric grid underneath me like lit up. And the whole thing was beautiful. And I got at least an hour of wonder out of it. But what was so interesting, and what's always so interesting about doing this, is I wanted to confront death, but Mother Ayahuasca instead showed me vanity. I was so concerned about being a legless person and dealing with the way things looked, and it really helped me settle into, you know, accepting myself for who I am. So it's just like doing psychedelics allows you to explore yourself from a different angle that way, you know? And I made a big commitment at that point to change my life, you know? And it was a huge, I would never take it back.
That was fucking absurd.
That would terrify me.
It was terrifying.
I feel like that would change, like that would be like, all right, well, I'm not going
outside.
I'm not
doing that again, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. And you did shrooms after this?
Yeah, and I'll do ayahuasca again as well.
I would have been like, yeah, that's the last thing I ever eat. Yeah. I think I'm going to give up everything.
I wouldn't do it just because I'd be afraid that would happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that sounds fucking terrifying. You know,
it's a lot.
I would do it if it didn't last as long as it did.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it was like 15 minutes, I'd be like, sick, sign me up.
Yeah.
Because, like, it'd
not
be cool
even
to see it. But,
not
like,
even.
Five hours.
I couldn't even experience that for 2 minutes.
What?
Like,
time is relative.
Dude, yeah. Dude, 5 hours? I can't watch anything for 5 hours.
If you smoke,
I couldn't watch porn for 5 hours.
If you smoke DMT, it could last from like 15 seconds to 15 minutes, you know? And different process. And if you smoke DMT often, what you do is you end up running into another Santa reference with psychedelics, self-replicating machine elves. So it's literally like a really common thing is ayahuasca is also called telepathine because where they wanted to call it telepathine because people that all tripped together had the same experience. And it's like, how is this possible? Everyone reported talking to the same entity mm-hmm. at the same time where everyone saw that thing jump between everybody running around. Everyone got scared and that thing was a spirit and the shaman like dealt with it. You know, that's like some trippy stuff. And like, I'm not the only one that's doing this. It's becoming really popular in the West. So you can check out reset.me, Amber Lyon, Aubrey Marcus, this is the CEO of onit.com. Those are two really outspoken people who do that stuff.
Can I say something real quick? Yeah. Also, even in the school that we're in, I haven't reached this yet, but he's told me about meditations where they all go in without being on a psychedelic, where they'll come out and they've all seen the same or had different kind of experiences with the same thing.
Our own version of that metaphor.
Yeah.
Like the head of the class. Dude, this is what, you know, I would never have believed this was possible if I didn't join the school. It would be like me and 13 other people meditating in a class. And my teacher will be like, all right, everyone, just start meditating and whatever happens, happens. We'll bring you back in like 5-10 minutes. When they come back, they'll ask, you know, what happened? And I'll say, I saw like a cherry blossom tree in my mother's front yard. It was pink and like all the things were falling, all the leaves were falling down. It was actually really, really beautiful. And I see like my teacher lights up. She smiles. She's like, good. Next person, they're like, I saw a pink tree too. And the next person would be like, well, I saw like my pink lunchbox from when I was, you know, but like you just start to see that what they're teaching you is how to see through the illusion. So what each one of these things represented to us was like the energy that my teacher was putting out for us to pick up on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they just start to show you kind of how this whole thing, soupy thing
works.
Yeah,
they did like a meditation. They went in the other room and they sent out like a mother.
Yeah.
Vibe. And then we all had different pickups of what that meant. So someone heard like baby girl, you know, another one of us, you know, felt like we were being rocked. So it's like, even though it's still like a similar mother
experience.
And they
don't tell you what it
is. No. You just have to share. You still don't know what it is. And then at the end.
And then at the end.
Yeah. And then people are like, holy shit. Crazy. So we actually have to wrap up. Where can they find you, Dylan?
Twitter, Instagram. What is it?
What's your Twitter?
D Alibrandi, D A L I B R A N D I.
Okay.
Yeah. That's about it.
And Tim, where can they find you?
TheLibertyMen@gmail.com. Email me if you're thinking about tripping so I can teach you how to not kill yourself. And Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole podcast on the same network.
Yes. And if you guys want to find me, I'm on Twitter at Joe Santagato. And Kate?
Well, I want to say Tim and I are actually starting a business. We're doing tarot and numerology readings.
Oh,
and we can do them over Skype. Or if you're in the New York City, New Jersey, the tri-state area, we could always come if you want to set up some kind of like party thing. We'll come and read for all of you guys. So we're doing that. If you want a Skype session, you can just email me at invasionofprivacypodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at the Kate Wolf. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Yay. Bye.